Thank you for listening to this message from Five Stones Church and Pastor Ryan Smith. For more information about Five Stones Church, visit us online at fivestonesga.com.
Touch your neighbor and say, I'm not perfect, but I am new. Y'all don't get it. I'm not perfect, but I am new. You can be seated in his presence today. Once again, thank you for being in the room. We're delighted to have you. Thank you to those of you that are here for the first time. We do church like this, unapologetically. Sometimes the atmosphere make people uncomfortable. I'm kind of wondering what heaven's going to be like. Because some people are going to have a real hard time when they get to heaven. Because the hushed tones that they were accustomed to are not going to be there, and they're going to be like, oh no. You mean I could have got that loud back on the earth? Right? Father, thank you for the opportunity today to stand in your presence, to see your word proclaimed. We thank you that you're going to make the word of God of great delight. You're going to challenge us. You're going to inspire us. You're going to speak to us. You're going to challenge us in new levels and new understandings and new revelations. Today, our ears are attentive. Today, our spirits are receptive. Today, we believe that we're about to receive what your word says that is going to give us a mandate and a mission to fulfill, and that we, without fear or apprehension, are going to accept our assignments and step into it, and we're going to fulfill everything you've asked us to do today, God. Because all we ever wanted to do was please you and bring honor to your name. So bless the word of God today, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. All right, go to Acts chapter 1. We're going back there. I did not try to finish last week. We're in part 3 of a series of thoughts. I don't call them really much other than thoughts because they're taking on a life of their own. But we're talking about Charlie Mike. How many remember what Charlie Mike is? If you're not here, you can feel free to go online to the website, and you can catch up the first couple messages on Charlie Mike. Charlie Mike is a military term that is used by our military to mean continue the mission regardless of obstacle, regardless of what's going on. They will say Charlie Mike, which is continue the mission. And how many believe we've got a mission on the earth? How many came to church today to find God? That's a trick question. Be careful how you answer. Because a lot of people will say to us, well, I'm going to church to find God. Well, I can take you to the local library. And if I take you to the local library, I can bring you into that establishment and I can show you the books of William Shakespeare. But William Shakespeare is not in the library. We can join together and create a fan club for William Shakespeare. Celebrate his life, couldn't we? Gather every Monday at the library and celebrate a man's life. But guess what? Even though his books are there, even though I can read about him and I can look at what he said and I can celebrate his life, he's not there. But we have adapted the idea that if we can go to church, we can find God. But the thing you have to understand is in the Old Testament, when they had the tabernacle, you could find his presence there. You could go there in the Old Testament under the tabernacle or the temple, and he would be there in his Shekinah and his glory, and you could find his presence. But I want you to understand something. You can't put God in a building. The Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that he abides in you and dwells in you? I understand we're in a place where we should be able to find God, but he should never be relegated or controlled to the four walls of a church. How many believe God's bigger than the establishment of the church? He's vast and deep and wide, and the reality is he could never be contained in a building. Steeples don't define who he is. Stained glass windows and pews do not define who he is. We have made the architecture and the facilities and the buildings the place we believe we find God. In Acts chapter 1, I'm going to spend a little time here because God's never dwelt. According to Acts 17, but we're in Acts 1, he never dwelled in temples that men made. He said, I've got to get inside people. Because if I can get inside people, then wherever they go, I go. My, 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 my. Can you imagine what would happen in America if the church would leave the building? Can you imagine the power in the marketplace if you and I stopped just coming to church to meet God and find God and have an encounter with God, and if we started living outside the church like we had something? My, my, my. In Acts chapter 1, we're looking at, we read verses 2 through 8 last week, but I really want to focus at verse 4. They were assembled together with Jesus. He commanded them, not suggested to them, that they not depart Jerusalem, but to what? Wait for what? The promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized. That was message 1. John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. What Jesus said is, it's not a suggestion, but I need you to be my witness, and I can't get you to be a witness until I get something on the inside of you that gives you the confidence to be so. Now let's go to verse 8. I know we were here last week, but I didn't get done. Verse 8, but you shall receive weakness, mediocrity, status quo. No. You shall receive power, dunamis. When what? When you go to church. When you go to a building. When you sit on a pew. When you're religiously committed to going every Sunday. He said, no, no, that's not it. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit does something. It comes upon you. And then he said, you shall be my witnesses. How many remember last week? Not prosecutors. Remember that? Remember last week? He didn't call us to be prosecutors of other people's judgments and sin. He called us to be defense attorneys. No, that's not what he called us. He called us to be a witness. Witness comes from, that word witness comes from a Greek word where we get the English word martyr. It's martyro, and it's a Greek word that means martyr, which means one willing to lay their life down in order to do what? To tell the story, right? You got to be willing to lay your life down. And how many know none of us in this room are willing to lay our lives down until something changes? Mm-hmm. So he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses of or to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to where? The ends of the earth. So when I began to look at this, I thought about it. Jesus believed that if we were going to make an indelible print in the communities we lived in, it was going to require more than going to a building. It was going to require more than going through the pageantry of what we have made church. Did anybody grow up in church? Anybody ever get bored with church? Anybody bored this morning? It's a little early, right? Give me about 15 minutes and you'll doze off and then you'll be like, yep. It's just like every church. How many's ever been hurt in church? Got your feelings hurt? Had things happen in church? Things didn't go your way, even in church. In the old church, you know, they used to have elections. They vote over everything, color of the carpet, deacons and elders and all that. And every time there was election, there was tension in the atmosphere of the church because somebody was politicking for a position, right? And if you grew up in one of those churches, you grew up in one of those landscapes where everything was democracy. And I appreciate democracy in a country. Democracy in a church is a whole other dynamic because God's never been a... That's not the structure of God. God says, I'm God. And so he lays out strategies and purposes and intentions and lays out all these things on how the church operates and all that. But a lot of times what happens to us is we make this the totality or the fullness of the expression of our God encounter. So today, if you based your whole God encounter on how good the worship was, or how good the preaching is, or how poorly it is, or how it doesn't connect or resonate, if everything's on that, you will leave here emotionally disconnected. Because we have built the statue, the precept, that this is where you have your God encounter. That this is the place where if everyone does well, then you can have something. But what you have to understand this morning is if no one sings, if no one cracks the word, you have an opportunity because the veil between earth and heaven has been rent and torn in two. That you can make up your mind this morning that whether there's somebody on an organ or an instrument or a person in a pulpit, you can pursue the presence of God, be filled with His Spirit to where you can be radically transformed this morning without anybody's assistance. Man, that set you free, wouldn't it? What Jesus said to his disciples, you remember when all this began and Jesus starts his earthly ministry and he's strolling along the shores and he walks up on the disciples and he starts doing crazy things like follow me. Who walks up to anybody and says, hey, follow me? Better yet, who has the audacity to put down their business and follow him? I mean, that's radical to me. Jesus shows up on the shoreline, goes, hey, boys, follow me. What's he saying? I want you to walk in my steps. I want you to get in my shadow. I want you to hear what I hear. I want you to see what I do. I want you to get encapsulated in my virtues and my values and this kingdom, and I don't want to talk to you about it. I want you to get so close you can see it. Here's what Jesus says. He says, follow me. Leave your atmosphere and come get in mine. Leave what's familiar to you and let me introduce you to the kingdom. Let me introduce you to my Father. Let me introduce you to the mission, the purpose, right? He said, follow me. How many know you cannot follow Jesus unless you're willing to forsake where you are? Well, now herein becomes the problem, because a lot of times we want to be a follower of Christ, but we don't want to forsake ourselves. Can I follow him, go to heaven, and not forsake the world? Can I straddle the proverbial fence? Can I have one foot in the world so I'm still liked by my friends and have one foot in the kingdom because I really don't want to burn and go to hell? Is that too blunt? I'm sorry if you're a guest, if that's offensive to you. It's just my nature. My nature is this. If I'm a follower, what Jesus says is you're going to have to forsake where you are and go where you've never been. How many know we're going to need the Holy Spirit to help us to leave where we've always been and what we've always done and the way we've always thought in order to follow him into new territories, into the new mission? I'm going to have some reassurance that this is going to work out, and I'm going to have something on the inside of me giving me the confidence to follow what doesn't make sense. And we're living in a world right now that makes no sense at all. To me, church doesn't even make sense. Because we have gravitated so far away from biblical mandated vision and purpose into the entertainment industry that we have become what I have said. We have become a cruise ship instead of a battleship. Because we're more concerned about entertaining you so you come back rather than getting you ready for a hell-bound territory that needs to be possessed by the righteous and where you can storm in there, not in weakness, but in the power of the Holy Ghost. Okay, be quiet. Just settle down, Ryan. It's not necessary. Well, it probably isn't, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because here's my reality. We were not positioned here to follow and forsake without fishing. Jesus said, follow me. Forsake what you've always done, forsake your business, forsake your identity, forsake what you're familiar with, and I'll make you, what he say, fishers of... Anybody ever go fishing? Does anybody understand how much discipline it requires to go fishing? Is it not somewhat disruptive to those of us who are control freaks to put a bait into water and then to wait? I don't do well. I've been fishing with that boy, and they'd be on one for 45 minutes. I'm in the back of the boat. But when you catch it, there's great elation and joy, isn't there? But you can't catch anything until you first follow, forsake. If you become a follower and forsake things, he's going to put you in some new territories in order to fish. And he said, you shall be fishers of men. The problem with fishing for men is I don't think people want to get caught. I learned this a long time ago. If you keep your mouth shut, you don't get a hook in it. The only way a fish, you're right. The only way a fish gets caught is when he opens his mouth, because his appetite has been tricked by a deception in the water. I'm going to get back to my text in a minute, but I got to finish this thought pattern, because this is where I wasn't able to finish last week. Because for me to be a follower, I love following Jesus, don't you? Isn't it fun to follow Jesus? He carries us on these adventures. He's got the GPS, whatever, laid out, and he's carrying us this way. And sometimes it doesn't look any, you know, real clear, because it's kind of dead ends at times. But he seems to always get us through it, doesn't he? And following him's pretty cool, because you get to see who he is and your atmosphere changes, and he's teaching you how to forsake things and all that. But then eventually he's going to say, okay, you followed me. You've forsaken these things. Now I need to teach you how to fish. And once you teach somebody how to fish, you got to leave them at it. That's called discipline. We call it discipleship. That means you got to figure this out for yourself. Now, how many's got friends and family that don't know Christ? Never had a relationship with Jesus? And you are a follower who have forsaken their old life, and now you're following Jesus. So now you are commissioned to fish. How good a fisherman are you? Not so good. We all know we're supposed to fish for men. We all know that we should be telling the wonderful story of how Jesus changed our life. But it's amazing to me that when we should be sharing, we go silent. We're around our friends and family, but we can't tell them how radically we've changed. We're around the people that know us the best, and they know our stories, but we really don't tell them how much we've changed. We kind of want to hide that, because we're not really comfortable with them knowing how really radical we've become. What will they think of me? What will they feel about me? Will they disconnect from me? Will they distance? And maybe they'll reject me, and maybe they won't like my story, and maybe they don't want a relationship with Jesus, and they don't want this and that. So what happens to us? We operate in the cowardness and the weakness of the world. I think Jesus always knew we would struggle with that. That's why he said, you can't be my witnesses without me doing something for you to help you have the strength and the confidence to do it. Because I remember the first time somebody told me to go knock on doors. Anybody ever knocked on doors before? Wasn't that a fun element of witnessing? That'll introduce you to humility. When I first went into ministry, my pastor said, you're not getting in the pulpit till you go witness in your community. I said, what do you mean? He called me to preach. He said, yeah, and I'm telling you, you're going to go knock on doors first. I said, I'm called to preach. He said, I'm telling you, go knock on doors first. I said, yeah, well, you're not getting in the pulpit till you learn to do this. and knock on doors and share your story and testify. And that was, whew. So here I am, a little wet behind the ears, born again, called to preach the gospel, knocking on doors. Hi, my name's Ryan Smith. I want to talk to you about Jesus. There was no boldness in my life. There was no confidence. I mean, I was just weak and beaten. And I had doors shut in my face and people, I mean, it was glorious. But see, a lot of times that's what we make witnessing to become. It's become knocking on doors, handing out tracts, and, you know, we made that witnessing. Jesus didn't say you will do an act. He said you will become it. He didn't say you'll go knock on doors and that's witnessing. He said the Holy Spirit shall come upon you and you shall what? Y'all not reading the text. It's so simple we have missed it. He said this. He said you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you shall be. Not do. Oh, y'all missing me all over here. He didn't say you will do witnesses. You will not do the act of witnessing. You will be. I need the Holy Ghost to help me be. Be what? A witness of what it is to follow. A witness of what it is to forsake everything the world says I need to succeed, but I forsook it all so that I could follow him in diligence and devotion. I need to be a witness, not do it. When's the last time you just showed up and said, I'm going to be what? I'm going to be a witness of what? Of what changed my life. You don't need chapter and verse for that. You just need to get comfortable telling somebody who you was and who you are now. How many remember who you were? Woo. Y'all want to talk about who you were? Woo! Come on, look at your neighbor and say, that was an ugly story of my life. Come on, y'all know. If I ain't got to, I don't want to. Because our, pardon the expression, but some of us sinned well. Yeah. Some of us were good at it. I'm not trying to glorify it. I'm just being honest. We were all in it. It was the lifestyle. It was the mentality. It was who we were. We were being what we were. And then somebody introduced us to Jesus who wrecked our lives, brought us into this glorious place where we realized we didn't have to live that way and that wasn't our best life. And he changed us. And then when he changed us, we're like, wow, that's wonderful. How many has been changed in this room? How many believe somebody in your friends, your family, in your marketplace deserve to know what changed your life? You didn't get saved by religion and good works. You got saved because he pulled you out of that ash heap of hell you were living in and gave you a dusting off, a cleansing, a new life and a new mindset. Anybody ashamed? Well, see how quiet it got? I'll try again. I'll try on this side. Are y'all ashamed of what Jesus did for you? No. You convinced by that? You ain't convinced? I ain't convinced either because I'm like, yeah. But Brian, we don't need to be so radical. We just need to kind of blend in and kind of just get along and let's just kind of, yeah, he called me to be light in a dark world. You can't be light in a dark world unless you really light. Can I submit this to you? Take it for what it's worth. Somebody better get lit. I mean lit under the power, the glory, and the majesty of the Spirit that says, I need you to be. Be what? Be who he said you are. Don't be ashamed of where you come from. Be proud of where you're going. I can't live in a world if I'm ashamed of what he did for me. This whole Charlie Mike is about understanding that he has changed us to tell others. And the day we set up in this igloo of a church, set up in this aquarium looking at everybody else's ability to swim in the same aquarium, It's not what he called us to be. He said, I want the Spirit to come upon you so you can be my witnesses, and I need you to start in Jerusalem. I need you to start right there at home. I need you to start right there with your family, and I need you to be a radical testimony. I need you to be a witness of what you've seen and what you've saw and what he's done. I don't need you to quote the book of Revelation. I just need to tell how I was set free. Ashton don't care if I can quote John. Ashton don't quite care if we can quote the whole Pentateuch. Ashton wants to know if I've messed up. If my life has fallen apart and I made some decisions because of peer pressure in my life and I fell in line with some folk who deceived me, I need to know, will he change me if I let him have the opportunity to change me? He doesn't need chapter. He doesn't need verse. He doesn't need a prosecutor. He doesn't need a defense attorney. He needs me to tell him, let me show you what I found will change your life. Are you here? Because for me, we have made church this institution of boredom. It's like misery and grump. Because we've been taught that if we sit on a pew, we can go to heaven. And that may very well be true. You might go to heaven from the pew, but your family going to hell from wherever they're sitting today. Because if they don't have if they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, they don't get the joy of heaven. Well, that's why we need preachers. Really? That's your defense before the Lord? Lord, I wasn't called to preach. No, you were called to be a witness. Because that's for all of us. That's not for the trained professional. My job is to equip you, to enable you, to teach you, to give you revelation, to challenge you, and then I hand it to you. And if you choose to do nothing with it, guess who has to give an account before God? You! Oh, but Pastor Ryan, I don't want to have to deal with that kind of consequence. Then get busy being. Be a witness. Don't do witnessing. Just be it. Oh, come on. See, our challenge, as I began to look at this scripture, and I'm not going to get much done today either. I probably done said it a lot already. I said enough to quit. Vicky said, no, keep on. You shall receive dunamis or power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. Not when you go to church. Not when you hear good worship. Not when you got great preaching. But when you allow the Holy Spirit to have a place. When did we make the Holy Spirit weird? When did we make the Holy Spirit some of this, ooh, we don't want to get too, that's a little messy there. The Holy Spirit is what drives that weakness and cowardness out of your life. The Holy Spirit's what drives that timidity out of your life and causes you to be a righteous roaring lion in a world that doesn't want you to roar. Because when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you are reminded of where you were and how he got a hold of you. And you didn't want to get saved neither. Huh? You didn't want to give up. You wasn't ready to give it up. You ain't gonna talk to me. Y'all gonna look at me like I'm crazy. You wasn't ready to give it up. He said, I got an assignment for you. And he set you up and you didn't even know you was getting set up. And you got locked up and thrown down and ran over and outcast and all that. And God said, watch what I'm about to do. I'm about to put you in a dead-end place and put somebody there who's not afraid to be a witness. Yeah. Think about that crazy one that God put in your life that started telling you about Jesus. And y'all like, shut up. I remember the first guy ever witnessed to me. I said, shut your mouth. He said, I'm just trying to tell you about Jesus, and I'm trying to tell you about him, and I don't want to hear it, buddy. God had a good sense of humor. He knew I wasn't going to listen to that boy. So he sent a cuter one. Yeah. Woo, woo. I like her. I'll follow her. I'll forsake all others and follow her. Y'all crazy. But how many know what I'm talking about? She was cute. Still is. Don't mess with her. I will slap you. But she's beautiful. And so God used this woman. Now, I was stoned the night I met her. What do you want me to lie? That I'm just trying to tell you. It was Saturday night. And when you don't live for Jesus, Saturday night is tie it on tight night. So we were having a time. Had a time all day long. And then we went to town. I was not driving, thank you very much. We went to town. We were cruising town. That's what you did at that time period. If you was looking for a lady, you had to cruise. Not the internet, there was not one. You didn't swipe left, you just drove by till somebody smiled. Ain't none of this new technology. You swipe whatever you got. I don't know how that works. We drive by, right? Saturday night. Now, she ain't partying because she's teaching kids church on Sunday morning. So she's going into the grocery store to get snacks for kids church. Dale Lang driving the Jeep. I'm in the passenger seat. Sees her sitting in a car with her friend and says she smiled at us. She says she didn't. But it must have been an angel. Because Dale hooked it and turned. So I slid out of the Jeep, went to her side of the window. I am not lying.
What's your name?
Like Joey from Friends. How you doing? But yeah, she wrote me her number. That's why I got her number. Yeah, tell me. I got. Now I'm gonna show you this. Okay. So now she didn't know the intoxication that was inside me that drove out timidity or weakness. Or the fear of rejection. Because the enemy has always had a counterfeit. And the counterfeit that I had consumed on that Saturday drove away fear and timidity because I had liquid courage. Talk to me, right? Now I got her phone number. She gave me her number. This number don't work no more. Can I get a current one? She gives me a number, right? So I put it in my pocket. Now, we going back. I'm trying to help you understand something. Because at that moment, I was as lost as Cooter Brown. Had no desire to get it right. Had no desire. I'm living my life. She's cute. So I call. Well, I did not realize she was religious. And I began to discover something quick in our conversation. She was a church girl. Now, church girl from where I came from meant nothing because they weren't women of standard. Because you can go to church and still not be a church girl. Well, I found out pretty quick, like when I was trying to go out with her, she was an adult, but she ain't going out on no date with somebody like me without covering. I'm like, what are you talking about? We got to go on a double date. I ain't never had to go on a double date before. Aren't you old enough to go on a date by yourself? Well, if you're going to go out with me, this is how it's going to be. So I have to go bowling, putt-putt golfing with chaperones. I'm getting there, yeah. If I drag this story out, it's my story, and it's a good one, so bear with me. So I'm now following into her world, and she has forsaken all these things, and she was a pretty, her and her sister both were pretty good fishermen. I use that term correctly because there was a lot of guys that went to church where they went to church because they were pretty good at fishing. I'm just going to tell y'all because she's blushing right now, but here's the story. I couldn't go to church with her because she already had a couple others in the church. What'd you say? She said, I already been fishing. Right? So I said, because I knew she was a church girl, right? And so I'm like, can I go to church with you? I'm figuring I got to spend time with this girl because there's something about her. I knew there was something about her. I couldn't figure out what it was. There was something different about her. She was a follower. I could tell. And she followed Christ. And I that was all foreign to me. She was cute. And I said, can I come to church? She said, no. And come to find out why was because there was other fellas that were there. I don't know if they did or not. Now she's going to tell a story. So for me, the courage I had to meet her came because I had found how to live life and manage life under a falsehood of deception. Okay? And in early parts of our relationship, she's trying. Now, she may not even been trying to fish, but I was around like a guppy. Because I was getting set up and I didn't know it. I was getting set up and I didn't know it. Because what was beginning to happen was the Jesus she followed and the witness she had become was beginning to draw me from the shore of sin. And she didn't quote chapter and verse. She didn't thump her Bible at me. She didn't give me all that holiness stuff. She just be. And the very being a follower of Jesus caused me to go, you know what? I can forsake some of this. And so I started following her because she was following. I never met Jesus, but I'm following one who did. Y'all don't understand. And I'm drawn to her, and I think it's all relational, and I think it's emotional, and I think it's that, but there's something more going on because it wasn't just an emotional thing. There was something on the inside of her by the Holy Spirit that she was being used to be a witness that was testifying to me. I didn't have to live like hell. I didn't have to drink my way through life. Didn't have to smoke my way through life, but I could have a relationship, and I didn't even know what that would look like. And she just lived it. Just being. Just be. And next thing you know, I'm in an altar. Saying goodbye to my life. And I'm becoming a follower of Jesus. Forsaking all these other things. Because she was a fisherman. Who was finishing the story of Jesus. And it became my story. Do you realize your family right now has their eye on you? And you're not going to move them with your eloquence. You're not going to move them with pounding your Bible on their chest. You're not going to move them by telling them they're going to hell. But if you will be empowered by the Holy Spirit and just be that witness, just be the testimony and be willing to give your life down, don't prosecute them. She didn't prosecute me. If she'd have prosecuted me for how I was living, I would have been long gone. Because I done knew I was messed up. That ain't even great English. Y'all going to buy a book in a minute and go, he ain't got no English. You're right. She never done that to me. Because if she'd have done it, I'd have been like you, just like everybody else, trying to get me saved so you can put a notch in your little spiritual belt so everybody's proud of you. She just be. You know what I've always tried to do? Just be. Not be overly religious. I do better in the marketplace than I do in church. Because church people have heard it all. They expect it. The world we live in, they don't need you to be overly religious. They don't need you to use the cliches. They don't need to be impressed by your Greek and Hebrew. I know you're impressed by yourself, but calm yourself down, because the reality is they don't care. You can quote Greek and Hebrew, chapter, verse, and you walking around like you golden child going, look at me, look what I can do. I can quote all this. And they're looking at you going, I'm going to hell, and that doesn't resonate with me. Be a witness. What is a witness? A follower, a forsaker of life, and a fisherman. Now, does anybody need the Holy Spirit to help you follow? Anybody need the Holy Spirit to help you forsake all this other stuff that's trying to distract and cloud your life? Does anybody need the Holy Spirit to help you have the discipline to fish?
Thank you for listening to this message from Five Stones Church. For more information, current events, and the latest news, connect with us online at fivestonesga.com or on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at fivestonesga. We would love for you to be a part of a service here live. Join us every Sunday at 11 a.m. and Wednesday at 7 p.m. right here at 1358 Sixes Road in Canton, Georgia. Thank you again for partnering with us as we empower people and invade the culture.